Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. It's always nice to come down here and speak with you folks. We attend in Redlands, but we live in Orange County, so we're kind of a strange bunch of people here. So I got my notes. As you can see, it's just a bunch of numbers here, so we're going to have a lot of fun today. So usually what I ask people when I meet them, it's like, so what have you... People I meet at church, not people at work, okay? So what have you studied this week, I ask them, and they sometimes I get a pretty straight answer. It's like, well, I've been studying this book. Sometimes people say, oh, I didn't have a chance this week or whatever. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to share with you what I have been studying. You know, we're counting on the calendar, and it's sundown tonight. It's 8 days until Trumpets is with us. It begins at sundown, and to be very in time with the season, I'm going to speak on trumpets today. I was originally scheduled, I think, for speaking next Sabbath, which would have been even closer, but I got it prepared anyway. So I am digging into my memory here, and I've been studying a lot of the past 3-4 weeks on this topic so I could flip back and forth and confuse everybody. But I've decided we're going to make it really clear and simple. So let's start in Matthew 24. And we're going to start in the Olivet prophecy where Jesus proclaims and predicts the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. So we're going to start in Matthew 24. You know, one thing I always think that's interesting when I think about this is I remember visiting the Temple Mount, standing in front of the different mosques, the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa, and I remember that the group, they all got away from me and I was all alone. I had to pay a guy $40, some guy in a suit, to tell me which way my group went. But anyway, signs of the times and end of the age. So Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming, number one, and the end of the age? So he's asking two different questions, the apostles. And Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no one deceive you. So there's a couple things that are going to happen. He says, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, deceive many. You're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. These things are going to be coming, but the end is still not yet. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. These are just the beginning of sorrows. And then he goes on to say, they'll deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And it goes on, and then in verse 15, he gets into the topics of the great tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, I believe that's what Daniel 10 verse 40, it talks about the king of the north, king of the south situation. It says, when you see this, it says, you and Judea flee to the mountains. And if you're on your housetop, and maybe you're near a housetop in Anaheim, California, don't go back in your house and get anything. Interesting, it says, woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. You know, that's an ugly topic because their people are going to be starving and they're going to be eating their children. So it's quite ugly what happens during this great tribulation. But it goes on to verse 22. It says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then you can go on down into verse 29. It says, immediately following the tribulation. So there's going to be two periods that are just horrendous for mankind. You're going to have the tribulation. But he says, immediately after the tribulation, the sun's going to be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. That'll be frightening. The earth is actually going to be thrown out of its orbit. In some scriptures, it says that. And it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then eventually in verse 31, he says, and I will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of earth to the other. So my suggestion is keep a ribbon, keep a tab in Matthew 24, because we're going to check my work as we go through this. So what I was trained in my 30-some-odd, almost 40 years in the church is Matthew 24, if you want a little bit more detail, go to the book of Revelation. So let's go to the book of Revelation right now, and let's just do a fast review of that. So, book of Revelation. We're going to start in chapter 1. We're going to go through each chapter, one and one, and we're probably going to get out of here right on time. So, the book of Revelation. First, this is not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John the Apostle. It's broken down into a lot of different chapters. What's interesting about these chapters is some of them are what we're going to call, I'll call commentary. They're commentary on what was just described. It's been called inset chapters. But it kind of breaks you from the theme and the motion of the story. I think of the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he's doing things and then all of a sudden he looks at the camera and says, "Oh yeah, you know, my father is looking for me," or something. He says something silly like that. And that's what these inset chapters like. It's a break from the story flow to give some explanation. So we start in chapter 1. I told you what I want to tell you. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. They go and give a message to the church. Okay, so chapter 2 we don't need. Chapter 3 we don't need. Chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, we can see where John says, after these things, so after he gave the messages to the church, "I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking to me, saying, 'Come here, and I will show you the things that must take place after this.'" So the things that are going to take place after this, this is going to be the unsealing of the seven seals on the scroll. So that's really what we're going to be talking about today. So John says, "Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." So don't be confused that there's two people sitting on that throne or two God beings. There's one God who is sitting on that throne. Let's go to chapter 5. "And I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals." And verse 3, "No one in heaven or on earth, under earth, was able to open the scroll or to look at it." Verse 6, "And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." Verse 7, "And he came and took the scroll." The lamb took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. And then we get into the scripture that talks of worthy is the lamb. Well, we're just going to turn the page and go to chapter 6 now and continue our story, because we don't need that narration. "Now I saw," this is verse 1, "Now when I saw the lamb open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked and behold a white horse." So he goes and tells about the white horse with the first seal that is open. The second seal, he opened the second seal, verse 3, "And I heard the second creature saying, 'Come and see.' And there was the fiery red horse who was granted to take peace from the earth and to kill people. And then the third seal, you have scarcity," so famine, and then pestilence. "And the fourth is death on the earth from war and these famines." But then you got the fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs. Now we can quickly go back to Matthew and we can see that this is what he's talking about for the beginning of sorrows. There's wars and rumors of war. There's famines and earthquakes. And then there are those of the Christian faith who are delivered up to the powers for whatever they have planned for them. The fifth seal is the cry of the martyrs. He opened the fifth seal and he saw those who had the testimony of God and who had been slain. And they were told to wait a while. So it's not yet. All these bad things have happened, but it's not yet. And on this fourth seal backing up, A fourth of the people on earth are killed by that fourth seal. Now, I did my math this morning. That's what all these numbers are about. First off, I wondered, well, how many people are there really on earth? And of course, there's a website that works like an odometer that is just showing per the second how many people are on earth. And I counted, I was watching this thing go around this morning, and every 5 seconds, there'd be 10 more people born. And there are, it's close to 8 billion people on earth today. It's 7,970,000. And again, by the end of the year, they're expecting 8 billion. Well, 25% or a quarter of that, that's 2 billion people. So that got me thinking, well, how many people are in the United States? Well, the United States has, as of 10:30 this morning, 333,106,184 people. So 333 million people are in the United States. I looked at Mexico, 125,000. The most largest populated nations today, you have China and India. They're about 1.4 billion each. I mean, can you imagine that? We're 300 million. They're another billion on top of that. That's just crazy. But this fourth seal, 2 billion people die. That's a lot of nations that could be accumulated. That's a lot of people. All right, so let's move on. The sixth seal. Now I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its figs. And the sky receded like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain island was moved out of its place. And the kings and the great men and the rich men and the commanders and the mighty and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks and in the mountains. I got a History Channel subscription, and I've been watching all these documentaries on World War II, World War I, the Cold War. Do you know how many things they've dug underground for bomb shelters and safety? They've been doing it for years. There is probably as much area underground as there is above ground. So there are just so many places for people to go run and hide. Because in verse 16 it says, And the mountains and rocks fallen as hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Now, the book of Revelation is apocryphal. It talks in symbolic language. Now, we can get more clarification on this symbolic language by going back into our scriptures. So let's look at Joel 2 real quick, because that gives us a little bit more focus. And Joel is between Hosea and Amos, according to the tabs on my Bible. So Joel 2, it starts the chapter by saying, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble. Verse 3, we're going to skip. We're going to go to 10. The earthquakes before them. And the heavens tremble. Well, that's the wrong scripture I wanted to use, but I put it there anyway. It's a day of darkness. Yeah, verse 2, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come great and strong, like of whom they've never been, nor will there ever be. So it's a new time that is coming. It is the time of God's wrath. This is separate from the tribulation. So now we skip chapter 7, we skip some of chapter 8. Well, we can go to chapter 8, and this is when he opened another seal. And this is the seventh seal on this scroll that Jesus Christ is opening. And there was silence in heaven. And then in verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, you can see the first trumpet is verse 7. A third of the trees and green are burned up. The second trumpet, the seas are struck, and the living creatures died, and a third of the ships are destroyed. The third trumpet, the waters are struck, so the rivers and springs of water become blood. And the fourth trumpet, heaven is struck. Now, this is kind of interesting. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. We can think of this different ways. You can think, okay, the sun shines for 12 hours. It's only going to shine for 8 hours. So, you know, you can do your math, or 7 hours. You can, you know, say, okay, the day is going to be short. Or perhaps you can think of there's a portion of the world that has been destroyed, that there's been utter destruction, perhaps thermonuclear war, and there's so many clouds and debris up in the air on that third of the earth, that third of the earth, that third of the day, because the earth is spinning and everybody has a portion of daytime, that a third of that day in 24 hours has no sun because there's just utter destruction underneath it. Chapter 9, the fifth trumpet, the locusts from the bottomless pit. I saw the fifth angel sound, and I saw a star fall from heaven to earth. And he was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and arose out of it pit smoke so great like a furnace. The sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And there were locusts that came out of this pit. You know, other places in Scripture are going to talk about this bottomless pit as something different. Not what we would think, a hole dug in the ground, but it's a different place. It is emptiness. It is darkness. There's nothing there. Verse 5, and they were given authority to kill the men on the earth, the people on the earth that do not have the seal of God. Now, we skipped the scriptures that talked about the people being sealing, but there are people that are being sealed by God that are going to be protected by God at this time. It says, verse 6, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. I think that this has something to do with slavery, that so many people are made slaves that they're just worked and they're kept alive for some reason. Now, this is actually where Joel 2 fits in here, because it talks that they have the shape of locusts and woman's hair and breastplates and tails, and they just go completely through the earth and destroy things. The sixth trumpet, angels from the Euphrates. You know, a lot of times we think of the Euphrates and what happens. So let's look at this. So the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice on the four horns of the golden otter saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for this hour, day, and month were released to kill a third of mankind. And the number of the army, the horsemen, was 200 million, and I heard that number of them. And verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. I tend to think this is not talking about the armies of the East. This is not talking about the Chinese and the Indians and anybody else that are coming over from the East. It says angels that are doing this. And we sing a song that kind of talks about this. And that's where this scripture in Joel I wanted to talk about. Because in verse 3 it says, a fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. So these spiritual army, they go out and they destroy. Now we skip chapter 10. We skip chapter 11. But there is a portion in chapter 11 we need to read, because the second woe has passed. This is 11 verse 14. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then going down to verse 18, the nations were angry and your wrath has come on the day of the time of the dead that they should be judged and you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. So on the seventh trumpet, this is when the saints are brought back and rule with Jesus Christ. But then we skip chapter 13, we skip chapter 14, and we go to chapter 15, where it says, "Then I saw a sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues." So it looks like the saints are resurrected before these final plagues are brought upon the earth. We can look at the verse 7 in chapter 15. "Then one of the angels came to the seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever." So in 16, chapter 16, it runs fast. "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God on the earth.'" So these are plagues that seem very similar to the plagues that happened when the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt during the Exodus. The first bowl, you have loathsome sores. The second bowl, the sea turns to blood. Third bowl, the water turns to blood. Now, previously, only a third of the sea and only a third of the rivers had been turned blood, but now they're all turned to blood. The fourth bowl, men are scorched by the heat of the earth. The fifth bowl, there's darkness. He poured out his bowl in the throne of the beast, and the kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongue because of the pain, and they blasphemed God. Verse 12, the sixth bowl, this is where the Euphrates is dried up. "Then the sixth angel poured out the bowl on the great river Euphrates, and the water dried up, so the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." And then we can look at verse 16. So these people coming over from the east, and they're gathered together at a place in Hebrew called Armageddon. So this is where we actually see Armageddon put in here. This is in the time of the day of the Lord, when it's the time of God's wrath. You know, we can look at, this is a great scripture, this is Isaiah 34. This really clarifies a lot of information here. Isaiah is before, right there. So Isaiah 34, turn there real quick. Chapter 8, no, 34:8. "It is the day of the Lord's vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion." So it's talking about this time of the day of the Lord as being a year. You can go back up to verse 2. "It's the indignation of the Lord against all nations, his fury against all armies." Verse 4, "All the host of heaven shall be dissolved." And here again, we see the heaven shall be rolled up like a scroll. We've heard that before. So we're in 16. We see the Euphrates dried up. We're here at Armageddon. Verse 17, the seventh bowl, the earth is utterly shaken. "The seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple saying, 'It is done.' And there were noise and thunderings and lightnings and great earthquakes." Well, Isaiah 24, not necessarily something you want to sing about. Isaiah 24, 17, "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that shall come up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. And the windows on high are opened and the foundations of the earth are shaken." Verse 19, "The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel and fro like a drunkard. It shall teeter like a hut." Verse 21, "It shall come to pass on the day the Lord will punish on high the hosts of the exalted ones and on the earth." You know, that's kind of interesting because it kind of hints to a war in heaven and the notion that Satan and his demons are actually thrown down to the earth, and that's why they have so much wrath for humanity. And it goes on to say the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign. Well, we're getting to the end of the Day of Trumpets. But now we have to go to chapter 19 and see how this ends. So 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord omnipotent reigns. In verse 11, we see that heaven's opened and a white horse, and he who was on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. We can go to verse 20, and it talks about, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in the presence, which deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. You know, that lake of fire has been defined as Gehenna fire. Gehenna fire. Now, that Gehenna is a place in right outside of Jerusalem. I've driven past it in the past, and it's a beautiful park today. But it's also called the Valley of Hinnom, where Baal worshipers would sacrifice their children to Baal. So there was human sacrifice done in here, and it's very interesting that that place has been reserved for the false prophet. But then we see Satan bound 1,000 years. And then in chapter 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was there. You know, it's an amazing story. I'm going to stop there because I'm getting into Day of Atonement stuff. But interesting stuff I see here. So Satan is bound 1,000 years in this bottomless pit, this place that it's not on earth. It may not be in space. It may be between time. But it is a place where the demons and the evil, they hate to be. What I found was really interesting is that after those days are over, chapter 20, verse 7, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. So it's evidently a holding cell. But then eventually, he is put also into that lake of fire, where he will be forever and ever. And then we get into eighth day subjects. But the notion here, going back to Matthew 24, is that there are different places in the Bible where you can find information, and you need to look for some of the keywords, if you want to call it, to relate. You can see the sun and the moon becoming darkened. You can see that written in Greek text. You can see it written in Hebrew text. It is in many places. It helps fill in the story. The purpose of today was to unroll those scrolls and show that there is a series of events that happen as each one of those scrolls are, or seals on the scroll are unrolled. And again, you think again what they were. You have the first seals, so you have seven seals. And then at that seventh seal, that's a prelude to the seven trumpets. So seven seals, and on the seventh seal you have seven trumpets. And then you have at the end of that seventh trumpet, seven bowl plagues. So there are different things that are in order that happen. One of the things I wanted to kind of emphasize today is the tribulation, the great tribulation, the time of trouble, Jacob's trouble. It's separate from the day of the Lord and the time that God punishes the earth. In the tribulation, mankind is killing mankind. Nations are placed against nations to do God's will. God is putting in their minds to do what they do. But then at the end, when God comes, he's going to punish all nations and bring them to repentance and bring in that wonderful kingdom that we practice and celebrate at the Feast of Tabernacles, but which is an entirely different subject. So for now, we have unwrapped the seven seals. We put them in some type of order that is understandable to where we can now relate other scriptures and gain more understanding on this subject.